Welcome back, everyone, to another Crypto Market Rundown, where we talk about everything that's happening in the great world of cryptocurrency, from the fundamentals in the news to the technicals on the charts. We spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to. And the crypto market is seeing quite a bit of volatility this week. Now, for people who aren't aware, Bitcoin just kind of recontested and reapproached its all-time high in that rough area of resistance that we're going to talk about again in today's episode. But after hitting that, there's been a little bit of a rejection across the crypto market. There's a lot of news that's happening, especially when it comes to things like XRP and the SEC. We got Gary Gensler and the SEC back at it again with their same old shenanigans, trying to sue everyone out the wazoo. So we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about everything that's happening in the general crypto markets, and then, of course, how this can impact the current state of the market. So welcome back, everyone. It's good to have you here. We got a couple of things that we want to make sure that we talk about today. But TiVo, we are here yet again, another very special hurricane episode for the both of us. That's not holding us back from these decentralized markets. What doesn't kill us makes us stronger. And here we are.
Yeah, 100%. Shout out to all of Florida, especially where I live in Tampa. We're going through it right now, but I'm sure, we'll build back better and whatever happens, we'll get through it. But that doesn't mean we can't talk a little crypto. That's why we're here today. And yeah, just I guess my summarization of kind of the lead in there is there's a lot going on. And it's really 1 month really from today. Hopefully we'll know what the election results are. And so it's kind of just feels like a culmination of every week. It seems like there's more tension across the geopolitical space, across the finance space, yeah. Rate cuts. What's the Fed going to do again? It's like we just waited for the Fed decision. We got it. Now everybody's already looking to the next one, which is the week after the election as well. So it just seems like there's so many things tied in to kind of heading into a year's end. And yeah, I don't personally see the volatility, calming down, just kind of ramping up almost, up, down. So it'll be, I don't know. It'll be an exciting month, hopefully in a positive way. So we'll have to stay tuned and figure out how to play this thing.
Yeah. Hopefully we're in for some positive price action. We know that historically October, November are some of the best months for the crypto markets. I am a little bit nervous because it seems like as we head into this election season, there's going to be a lot of speed bumps. And there is the potential that, if Trump gets elected, Gary Gensler's out of there. I mean, there's a chance that even if Kamala gets elected, that Gary Gensler could still get out of there. And it looks like no matter which way you look at it, he wants to go out kicking and screaming. And you're going to notice that that is a reoccurring trend in today's episode, because legal lawsuits and SEC notices are being handed out like candy, and they have been for the last year or so. And the trend is not stopping. You might think, hey, maybe they want to calm down going into an election season. Maybe they want to ease off the pedal a little bit. But nope, we are full pedal to the metal here, TiVo. And there's quite a few things to talk about. So the first one, the big one that we kind of briefly talked about last week, XRP and Ripple are back in the news. And what we have here is XRP grave dancing. Now, for people who aren't, familiar, what we saw was last week, Bitwise came out and said, hey, we are filing for an XRP spot ETF in the United States. It was a big deal. But I had a little bit of skepticism going into this. And here's my thoughts. My thought was, hey, they have been in a pushing five-year battle with the SEC, where the SEC has been suing them, claiming security laws and all sorts of other things. And it's been a battle between the SEC and XRP. Now, in order to get ETF approval in the United States for a crypto spot ETF, you need SEC approval. So they would need approval from the very entity that has been suing them for the last 4 to 5 years straight. Now, it looked like the lawsuit was over. It looked like XRP had come out victorious. I think it's a big win for all of crypto. I don't think anyone wanted to see XRP lose. However, it was almost comical. I was saying, hey, I have my doubts about something like this. And the very next day that the ETF, that the XRP ETF news came out, the SEC comes out and says, hey, we're actually appealing the XRP ETF case. Now, what does that mean? Well, they're saying, hey, we think that there could be some legal errors. We think that there could be like significant legal errors that were missed or overlooked or something like that happened. And because of that, we are appealing this case. We are essentially trying to reopen this thing. And the price of XRP got destroyed off of this. Now, I want to make this very clear. You know, we kind of beat on XRP a little bit over here on the podcast, but I don't want to see any cryptocurrency do bad. I want to see the entire crypto industry, and I always want to try to make this as clear as possible. You know, regardless of where I think XRP stands from a fundamental standpoint or even a technical standpoint, we want to see the entire crypto market succeed. Now, I think certain cryptos have better chances of doing that than others. However, we want to see, I think everyone in crypto wants to see XRP beat the SEC, beat Gary Gensler in these cases, and shut them up for good. Because I'm going to throw up a screen share here and we can see this just a little bit more clearly. But the big things that we've been seeing here is that the SEC has been going after almost everybody, like seriously, almost everyone. And with this, you know, there's a long list of names that we can look at that the SEC has gone after. So obviously they've gone after XRP a lot. They've gone after Coinbase. They've gone after Robinhood. They've gone after Kraken. You name it. If they have crypto or blockchain attached in anywhere or any part of their company, the SEC has probably gone after them at some point. Even the ones that they approved already, like Coinbase, a publicly traded New York Stock Exchange company, right? A listed company here in the States that the SEC approved. They're going after them for, you know, who knows what reasons. And so this is kind of that article that is floating around right now with just talking about, hey, you know, there's petitions being launched. But the big takeaway here is that the SEC has filed this appeal. And if we go over and we actually look at what happened to the price of XRP off of this news, it was a pretty nasty downturn of around 24%. In about a 4 to 5 day window where it was just tanking and tanking off of this news. And there was some big potential here. You know, people were excited about this. However, it doesn't look like it's over yet. And Gary's back at it. But XRP is not alone in this because shortly after this, you know, coming up to, what was it, Tuesday, crypto.com is back suing the SEC after receiving a Wells notice. So this is essentially the SEC saying, hey, we're going to be investigating you. We're going to be looking into you. And we think that there could be some illegal things happening here. We think that you could be doing something wrong. And so the SEC is now investigating yet another cryptocurrency company through crypto.com. So crypto.com said, hey, we're not going down fighting. If you're going to do this to us, we're actually going to be almost like countersuing you after receiving this Wells notice. And so it's just this endless sue-off. I think that's the nickname that we gave it here, TiVo. It's just this endless sue-off between Gary Gensler and anyone who has something about blockchain or crypto attached to their name, essentially. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that
it's hard for anybody to know, really, right? Because at the end of the day, the administration that's, you know, currently in power with Gary Gensler, you know, could be there in, you know, a month, which, you know, would probably be more of the same, or there could be a change. And I know there was something that was leaked today about, or not leaked, it was more of a rumor on X about maybe the new head of the SEC is a current Robinhood employee. And we interviewed Johan Kerbat, the GM of crypto of Robinhood, yesterday. It's going to come out next week. So you'll see that interview on Tuesday, but just there's just a lot up in the air.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And I think people are just a little bit frustrated, and kind of from those podcasts that we've had here recently, you know, with some of the people from Robinhood and other places, the resounding answer that we have gotten is, hey, we don't really care. I guess they do care which direction regulation goes, but they're saying, hey, the biggest concern for us is just show us clear regulation. We're willing to make any kind of adaptation or change. We're willing to be flexible. We want to work with you. We just need to know what to do in order to be properly regulated. And that's where most of this frustration has come from, is because places, I'm sure it's been like XRP, like crypto.com, like Kraken, like Coinbase, like, you know, the list goes on, Robinhood. It's not that they want to not be compliant. Like almost everyone, regardless of what the project is, most mainstream companies want to be as compliant as possible. And they're almost begging the SEC. And we've done an episode on this, it feels like a year ago, I'm talking about the same thing, where they were, all these companies were literally begging the SEC, saying, hey, just give us clear regulation. We're willing to be flexible. We just need to know what to do. And that's a lot of what the problem is right now, is that there isn't this clear defined path. And whenever you think that there is and you try to abide by it, well, you get a Wells notice, or you get a lawsuit, or you get something. And it's this really frustrating and also very costly process to these companies. And so there's a lot of speculation here. We want to kind of connect the dots back to how this can affect the market. You know, yeah, this is frustrating. Yeah, this is all happening. I think it's good to stay informed and understand what the situation is. But how can this actually impact us moving forward? Well, number one, if we do get a new head of the SEC, if Gary Gensler gets removed, if someone that is much more pro-crypto gets added in, I would imagine that this very positively impacts the entire crypto market. These companies, these projects are going to be spending less on all of these legal costs that they have been fighting for. They can actually focus on the products. They can focus on development. Companies can be more creative with what they want to do without the fears of getting sued for any kind of product. You know, we've seen that in the past with earn products and stake products and lending and so many different things, where people are afraid to dive into a lot of parts of DeFi because of what the SEC might do. And so if they don't keep it very bare bones and simple, they're afraid that they could go outside the parameters because they are so gray at the moment. So I think that if we connect the dots back here and kind of look at how this can affect the crypto market, the big takeaway for me is that if Gary Gensler gets removed, if he gets replaced, I think it's going to be a really positive thing for the crypto market. I think that that will be the catalyst that sets us on the next kind of upwards journey, because everyone essentially gets the benefit from it. Investors are going to look at it and say, hey, I can now be a little bit more risk on because I don't have the fear of my favorite company or brokerage or project being sued anymore. And the odds of that happening are drastically down. From the opposite perspective, not looking at kind of the trader and the investor, looking at it at the companies, like I said earlier, they can now begin to say, hey, this will probably save us on legal costs. We now have clear regulation, and so we know exactly what we need to be doing here in order to stay compliant. That's a good sign. And now we can actually be more creative because we know what those boundaries are. So, you know, if we see the exit of Gary Gensler, here's my bold prediction. Again, not financial advice, not legal advice, not anything like that. But my personal prediction and what I'm betting on here is that if Gary Gensler gets removed, I think that will be the catalyst. That will be the start of the next kind of true bull market cycle. And so that's one of the big things that I'm waiting for here. Obviously, only time will tell. But if we look at even the price of crypto.com, you know, we looked at the price of XRP a second ago saying, hey, this thing dropped about 24% in about a 4 to 5 day window here. And if we go and we look at crypto.com, which is now countersuing the SEC off of that Wells notice, we can see that they saw kind of similar price action here recently, where over the last 10 days, they're down about 17% off this local high that they put in. And so it's just never a good thing. You can go to other charts and other projects and other companies in the past and see kind of similar behavior, but it's something that everyone is ready to be over with. I don't think it matters what side of the crypto team you're on, right? It doesn't matter which crypto project is your favorite. It doesn't matter what kind of maximalist you may be. It doesn't matter what kind of political party you may be a part of. I think everyone that is invested in the crypto markets are looking at this and saying, we are ready for this to be more clear and we're ready for this to be more over. So that's what I'm thinking about, kind of the current state of where we're at here, TiVo. But I want to just kind of pass it back to you here and, you know, kind of get your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it was summarized beautifully of everything that's going on, kind of in the sense that, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces, like there always is. You're never going to find a time where everything's perfectly lined up, but you do need to, you just need to stay educated. And that's what we try to do here. Just kind of lay out what is going on. And then, we definitely do give some opinions, but at the same time, it's more just gathering all the pieces to the puzzle and trying to educate yourself so you can, build your own thoughts and build your own plan. And then another piece of news that we saw was that the Silk Road Bitcoin, the Supreme Court decided that the ownership of the Bitcoin, which is worth $4.38 billion seized by the government, is basically owned by the government. And so there was a lot of people on X saying that this is an automatic sell for the government. So they got, $4 billion in Bitcoin that they're going to offload to the market. I guess I personally don't necessarily see it that way. I think the decision that was made basically says that the government owns the Bitcoin and they can, I guess, do with it what they want. I think kind of the panic of X jumped into people, deciding that, the government would automatically sell it, which is definitely a possibility, but I don't think it's necessarily an imminent thing. But I thought it was an interesting decision of, the FTX repayments are starting now too. So a lot of people that got screwed over at FTX are going to be receiving their funds. And again, you don't get the accumulation that the market's given you the last year, but you'll give at least a portion of what was, in your account at the time, which again is still not fair, but it's better than nothing. So there's a lot of moving parts going around this repayment area of the crypto markets. And this is just one of them. So Brendan, what do you think about the US government getting the ownership of the Silk Road Bitcoin? And do you think it's a quick sell for them? Or are you more along the lines of, not panicking too much about it?
Yeah, I'm not panicking at all about this. We've already seen so many cases like this where it's like, oh, the German government is going to be selling Bitcoin. Then the US government is going to be selling Bitcoin. And then it could be, different countries over in Asia and maybe even Japan selling Bitcoin. And we've seen so many different examples of this in the past where it's like, oh, fill in the blank country is going to be selling billions of dollars of Bitcoin or hundreds of millions of dollars of Bitcoin. And we've gone through this so many times that it just does not faze me anymore. I'm not worried about it. We've already gone through this several times this year. And guess what? We still hit new all-time highs here on Bitcoin, I think even ahead of schedule. So I'm looking at this. I'm not worried at all. I think that you're right with kind of just your analysis of the situation saying, hey, the government's going to own these Bitcoin and then they can do what they want with it. But where I think that people kind of get misled is that they're immediately saying, oh, it's going to be the worst case scenario if this happens. And worst case scenario is that they all go onto an exchange and mass dump these things, sell them off onto the market and crash the price of crypto kind of across the board. And again, I think that's the worst case scenario. It's not the one that has to happen. If they do own these Bitcoin, then, could they sell them? Yes. Could they sell them over the next 10 years, a little bit at a time? Yes. Could they go and not sell any of them? Yes. Like there's so many outcomes and so many different ways that this can play out. And that unfortunately, the way that I think a lot of brains are wired is they go, oh, it could be the worst case scenario. And I think it's okay to prepare for that. However, it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to play out in the most like negative way possible. So I think when we see stuff like this, just remember that this year alone, we've already seen several near identical situations to this one where different governments have had billions of dollars of Bitcoin and they've sold them off. Did it impact price a little bit? Yes. But what came out of those situations? And that was some of the best buying opportunities that we've seen. I think if you look back at when the US government and the German government specifically were selling mass amounts of Bitcoin earlier this year, when prices were falling down to, $50,000, $60,000, that was some of the best buying opportunity to actually be accumulating and swinging Bitcoin specifically back to the upside as we retested that kind of rough 70K area. And I think that if we get another opportunity like this, if it turns out to be this most bearish case scenario, well, then I think we're going to have the same reaction as last time. We probably get presented another buy the dip opportunity. And we've seen that when Bitcoin gets down to around 50K, there are a ton, and I mean a ton of buyers in the past. So I'm really not too worried about it. We've seen, very similar situations. And I think going forward, I will happily be the buyer if the government is trying to sell and push price down to, if we get 50K again, then I will happily be a buyer down there.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. And then, yeah, again, I think it's just that volatility, that range that, you know, you've been showing us nonstop for like the last 3 months. You know, we're playing in that range, you know, hoping and thinking that, you know, we see the upward trend intact so that the breakout eventually is to the upside. It just seems like there's just a lot of factors kind of keeping us in that range right now. But what else are you seeing in the charts this week?
Yeah, you know, is the range getting old yet? Is it getting old to anyone? Because
I think this range is about to go out for a drink soon. It's gonna be 21st birthday.
Yeah, it's I'm feeling old just being inside of this range. I hope the range feels old. I hope it's getting old to everyone because I'm ready for it to be over. We've been talking about this for almost the entirety of this year, but it hasn't broken. It's just been so consistent, which is a double-edged sword, right? The consistency allows for some easy trading. However, that kind of same consistency also makes such a frustrating trade zone where people are tired of it. I think some people are even at the point now where they're like, hey, this could break down and I would be okay with it. Let it break down or let it break up, but get us out of this sideways chop. And I don't blame people who are thinking like that. So this is what the price action of Bitcoin has looked like over the last, you know, was it 8 months or so now, where we essentially broke out in February. And then ever since then, we have this kind of resistance line and the support line. And Bitcoin has just been going back and forth, just kind of playing a game of ping pong from support to resistance to support to resistance, just back and forth here, up and down, constantly going in between these levels. And at the beginning of the video, I was talking about how we retested this primary resistance line. And this was what I'm talking about here just about a week ago. And so as we have come back up here and tested this, does that mean that we have to go all the way back down to maybe 50K again? Not necessarily. I think it's something to, you know, keep in mind. However, we've been in this for a long time. I think that this thing is towards the end of its life. This falling channel that we've been inside here. We can even see it a little bit more clearly if we go to a weekly time frame and we zoom out just a little bit. And if we look at it like this, you can see that price action week on week has just been stuck inside of here. And again, I think we are reaching the final stages of this consolidation. Now, personally, I'm long biased. I want to see this break up to the upside. Not financial advice, not any kind of advice. Just what I am biased on is I am overall long biased here. So as the price of Bitcoin starts to maybe fall back down and give us another entry opportunity, probably towards the mid to high 50s, which we've already even seen a little bit of, that's where I am going to be the most interested in accumulating. And that's the way that I want to play this, is I am long biased, and I think that Bitcoin can break out. I think that we can see new all-time highs, and I think that this will be a good thing for not only Bitcoin, but for altcoins as well. And one of the big things that I've been looking at is that we've already seen Bitcoin bounce off this previous high. And again, this is on a one-week timescale. We saw Bitcoin bounce off the top of this former consolidation range, come over here, bottom out at this same level, and now it's pushing up to the upside, kind of off this 50-week moving average of what we're seeing over here. So I think as Bitcoin retraces, I'm looking for a higher low, meaning that I'm looking for Bitcoin to bottom out higher than we previously saw over here on this daily time frame, over here being the kind of, you know, local low. Then we had a higher low here. Now I'm looking for another higher low to happen over here. And that could even be a little bit deeper. So even if Bitcoin dips a little bit further, I'm really not too, you know, freaked out by it. I'm not too concerned. But I am looking to actually get quite bullish over here. And I'm still quite optimistic on the overall health of the space, even with this consolidation continuing. Now, the other thing that I want to say here is that Bitcoin dominance is sky high. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, if we look at Bitcoin and kind of how it's been performing to the rest of the crypto market, still super extended to the upside, very, very extended to the upside, which generally is not the best thing for the altcoin market. We want to see this thing tank like it has in previous market cycles over in here. We want to see it do one of these for altcoins to really do well. However, we're just not quite there yet. Bitcoin dominance is high. And the other thing that I've noticed here is that the DXY or the Dixie, has been really bouncing well off of this 100 point zone, which has been a huge support level over the last year or two. And so for people who are not as familiar, the DXY or the Dixie is fairly inversely correlated to Bitcoin. So when the Dixie goes up, Bitcoin typically goes down. And when the Dixie goes, you know, and vice versa, right? When the Dixie goes up, Bitcoin goes down. And when the Dixie goes down, Bitcoin goes up. And with the Dixie kind of rising off this level where it's been holding, right? This is kind of the line in the sand. We are waiting to see potentially the Dixie break down beneath this, and thus the price of crypto could go soaring. However, it continues to defend this zone. So it's been a big level that I've been paying attention to. The other kind of cool thing that I've noticed here, TiVo, is that we're starting to see a little bit of a popcorn season in altcoins. Now, is every altcoin booming and doing well? Obviously not. Not every crypto is a winner at this stage of the market. However, what I have seen is that there are a couple of outliers. And I think if we go and we look at SUI, for example, SUI just recontested its all-time high over here. Just since, I mean, what is this? In the last like 64 days, so in the last 2 months, SUI was up almost 400%, recontesting that all-time high. And then Mantra was another one that over here actually even broke very briefly, was not able to close above, but it broke above for a little bit of time, above its previous all-time high. So there are cryptos that are still chugging over here. I mean, even in the last like 30 days, Mantra did about 75%, hit that new all-time high. Now we're seeing a little bit of a retracement. But there are a lot of cryptos that are doing fairly well. I think Arrow is another one from Aerodrome. Oops, and I'm misspelling it. But Aerodrome was another one that had also had a really nice rally here in recent months, where this thing did about 153% over the last month. And so we're at, and I think Aave is another great example, right? We can look at Aave and what this thing has done almost 100% in the last 2 months. The list kind of goes on. And while it's not every altcoin, this is what we like to call popcorn season, where you're seeing just select altcoins kind of explode and pop and move to the upside and make these 100, 200, 300% moves over a shorter time period. So something to watch out for moving forward. And the reason that I say this is because there's still opportunity out there. There's still altcoins that are doing well. And I still think it's a pretty exciting time to be in the markets. So overall, again, net optimistic about where we are standing. Doesn't mean that the kind of pullback has to be over here. I think that if we get a deeper one, it's kind of what I'm waiting for, to get a lot more bulled up about the current state of the market. But that's my thoughts on this, TiVo.
Yeah. Again, I always appreciate your views and your summarization. Just kind of feels like we're waiting for the next big move, the next big event. And when that happens, we'll definitely cover it for you. But until then, you stay educated. And that's why we keep doing these. I did notice that, you know, the last couple of weeks, we had some exciting price action in the altcoins and in Bitcoin as well. And, you know, the views and all the downloads start going up, you know, and so, you know, always excited to see that for sure. But, you know, while we have them and they're still here, I hope that they understand that, you know, some of the best information is during the boring times. And so, you know, don't leave us for too long, because I always see when those numbers, when the prices start pumping, the numbers start pumping too. But I know we got our core listeners out there that always appreciate what we give every week. And so definitely for the last piece of information we got here, we want to remind you that, number one, this is never personal financial advice. We are not financial advisors, just two guys talking crypto. And number two, beware of scammers. There's so much scamming going on in any space, the internet in general. I got one the other day. It was a text message, and it said, it was a picture of a very attractive female, and it said, "I only date people that vote. You know, please click here to register to vote." I thought that was a new one. I did not click that.
Getting more creative.
They're getting more creative. They almost got me. But I am registered to vote, but I did not click that link. So just beware out there. But we want to leave you with a funny, I don't know if it's really funny, but there was a big crypto scam that got blown up. There's an indictment, two charged in a $230 million crypto scam. And this these guys were out of Miami. I guess they're doing both LA and Miami, but it was Malone and Jean Dial Serrano. Interesting. So two literally 20 and 21. And basically, I think it was pretty simple, Brendan. They basically were just getting information to people's wallets through whether it was, you know, text messages or emails or phishing emails. They got the passwords and literally drained the wallets for, you know, $250 million. And then these guys ran around. They ran around L.A. They ran around Miami and just spent it. And I know we were kind of talking offline. So one quick story of some friends that I have down in Miami, they said they knew this guy. So these guys were hanging out at the clubs, like 11, the big nightclub. And they said these guys were just spending ungodly amounts of money and getting the best, you know, the best tables and all this. And they said they were laughing, though. They said these guys, I guess they knew some of the girls that they were, you know, trying to get to hang out with them. And they were sending them handbags and buying them Lambos. And the girls would obviously accept them, but then would not hang out with them for much longer after that. And they would go hang out with my friends and tell them that these guys are just throwing gifts their way. And then they leave and they keep giving them more gifts. So, so it sounds like as good as these guys were at scamming people, their game with the women, even though they had unlimited money glitch, was not good enough.
Yeah. I've heard some funny stories about this, where they got access to all these funds through illegal means, and that they were doing basically everything that you were saying. They were going to nightclubs and messaging influencers and trying to buy them all these elaborate things. And it was just like a scenario where people just like weren't interested in them. And there were these people that they were trying to like almost bribe, right? And give these extremely lavish gifts to. And it was like, no, I'm still not interested. And I've seen some like leaked messages and leaked screenshots. And it just goes to show, it never pays to be a scammer. And as kind of almost ironic and funny as it is to have someone who gets access to almost $250 million, and it just goes to show that, you know, money can't buy you everything in this life, and it never pays to go and do that. And so we bring up this story not only to kind of keep everyone aware, but also just to make sure that everyone knows that these scams are going to get more creative. These kind of ill actors are going to get more creative with the ways that they try to take and get access to your funds, whether it's through you clicking a link, or you know, them tricking you into thinking that they're someone that they're not, or whatever it may be. We want to make sure that everyone stays as safe as possible in the world of crypto, especially as the market matures and grows and does better. There's just going to be more and more creative ways that people are going to be trying to get access to this kind of sensitive information. So that's our final warning about everyone out there. When in doubt, no one will ever, and I say ever, 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 need access to your seed phrase, to your secret, you know, code, to your wallets. They will never need access to your keys to your wallet. No one should ever be getting access to your Coinbase exchange. If they are support, then guess what? They already have access. They don't need your password. They don't need your wallet info. Nothing like that. So we want to make sure that everyone stays as safe as possible. We cannot emphasize that enough. But that being said, Tebow, we're going to go ahead and round out here. So if you enjoyed this episode, all that we ask over here is that you click the like button, you click the subscribe button. If you're a listener on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Audible or something like that, then go over and check out our YouTube channel. It's called the Crypto 101 Podcast on YouTube. Over there, we got all sorts of tutorials, podcasts, market updates, you name it. We got a lot of great content. And also, you can see all the visuals that we always reference on the screen here. So if you want to track along and see all the articles and charts that we talk about, YouTube is going to be the best place to do it. And finally, leave us a review. Leave us a comment. We see all of them. The good ones, the bad ones, the haters, the people who love every episode that comes out. We love to read all of them. And so we appreciate the support, whether you agree with us or not. We still want to hear from you. So with that being said, everyone, thank you all for watching. And until next week, we're going to see all of you at the same time, same place.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.